Life Management Science Labs would like to acknowledge that we live and produce this podcast on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people. We'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land of our listeners and our international colleagues. We'd like to thank and pay our respects to the elders, past, present, and emerging. Hello, everyone, and welcome to CeroBoost, the Happiness Science Insights podcast, produced by LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. We are champions of life management science, providing structured insights informed by science and inspired by practice on key aspects of conscious living. Each week, we bring you scientific and practical insights on each element with the expert knowledge of professionals in the field. I'm your host, Lu Ngo, coming to your ears from NARM, Melbourne, Australia. Let's learn together. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to CeroBoost, the show where we talk about happiness every single week. And today, I'm excited to talk about grateful mindset, unlocking happiness through gratitude. It is not a new topic, and gratitude is something we've mentioned quite a few times on this show, but today I'm excited to digest it and dissect it in a way that would be a little different than usual, you know, going into more details. And our guest today is a really special guest to talk about this topic. I heard her story briefly before we started, and I'm excited for her to share the story with you as well. Today I have Tiffany Malashi with me. She is an educator for both university students and elementary age students. She is a continuous learner who seeks facts through research and enjoys sharing her learning through her writing. Thank you so much for joining us today, Tiffany. And I know it's super late, but I love your energy, even though it's like, you know, towards the end of your day. So please share a little bit more about yourself to our audience. You know, I love your story from what I've heard so far, but I'm sure there's so much more to it. We'd love to invite you to talk about your professional journey, how you got here, and why you choose to do the work that you're doing.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here. My background involves education. Like you had mentioned, I'm an educator for both elementary age students and university age students, and mostly within the special education setting. And I'm also a military spouse who's had the opportunity to travel throughout the United States with my husband. So I've been fortunate to be able to teach special education in various states throughout the United States. And through those assignments, I've had a couple of classes where I have had the pleasure of teaching students with behavioral disorders and emotional disturbances. And I found those experiences greatly challenging, however, supremely motivating. And I felt I needed something more to be able to teach those students, so I decided to pursue a PhD in psychology. So through that PhD, that's opened a door for lots of opportunity for me, one of them being writing for positivepsychology.com. And I believe the article you had come across was my article on gratefulness. And that came to me at a pretty profound part of my life. So writing for positivepsychology.com, we utilize a Trello board, and the writers get to select the topics they're most interested in or topics that they have a lot of experience in. And when I chose this topic, it was right before the holidays. I was very stressed, and I thought, you know what? I could use a check-in, and I could use a little bit more practice with gratefulness. So I decided to choose the gratefulness article. And throughout my research and my literature reviews concerning gratefulness, we found out that my daughter was diagnosed with what's called a pilocytic astrocytoma, which is a very low-grade brain tumor. And, you know, she's doing phenomenal now, and we expect her to continue to do phenomenally. However, that experience in the children's hospital was life-altering. It was terrifying. But you have to choose to be grateful. You can either wallow and say, oh, we're in the hospital. My daughter has to go through all this. We have to do continuous MRI checkups. Or you can be grateful. And walking through the halls of the children's hospital, you will most likely be grateful. And it's sort of negative to say, but there's always someone who has it worse off than you. And we definitely saw that. So we were grateful that we have great insurance to help us along in that process. We were grateful for family that flew in, and we were grateful for her diagnosis, which was, it was phenomenal. We could not have asked for anything better. So if you, you know, practice, I lost my train of thought, but,
it's okay. You can pick it up again.
So that's the story of how I was able to write this article. And it helped me during this pretty difficult time. However, you know, you can choose to grow from it. And that might be a separate episode you might want to do, the post-traumatic growth. So you can choose that avenue. So that's sort of my story and how I came to write that article.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you for sharing that. And as I said before, even if, you know, even though the story went in a positive direction, the start of that was definitely not fun. And, you know, for you to be able to open up and share that with us is a very big deal, I think. So thank you for being open and vulnerable and sharing that experience. I'm glad your daughter is doing phenomenal now. And, you know, I'm sure she'll continue to be well. But I think what I took from that situation is, you know, to be in such a difficult situation and still have gratitude and to still be grateful for what you do have, that just shows the power of gratitude. And, you know, I was actually talking to my team earlier. So we just went out for a walk and had lunch together. And I was kind of saying to them, how do we enjoy everyday life, no matter how mundane it is? How do you enjoy your mundane life, right? And yeah, we started to just get into a little bit of a debate, not really like a, not like a heated debate, but just kind of like, oh, you know, like people show like different sides of who they are. And, you know, sometimes they show all the good side and it seems like all rainbow and sunshine, but it's not. And, you know, it's actually quite hard to enjoy the mundane. And one of my colleagues was kind of saying, yeah, like she finds it hard to enjoy the mundane too. And I was kind of like, that's interesting. And the reason I'm asking is because I don't know. You know, like I've gone through a period of being super burnt out and like I just don't feel anything. I feel completely listless and I just need to kind of get inspiration from people. And, you know, when you share your story, that reminded me, you know, like we can actually be grateful for so many things, no matter the situation or the circumstance that we are in. And a lot of the times it's just a matter of whether we find those things. And, you know, I meditate every day. And I think like in meditation, with the guided meditation, there's a lot that you get, right? From depending on the teacher, my favorite teacher is Sarah Brondon on Insight Timer. And she speaks it in a way that would kind of like bring out the very mundane things for you to enjoy, to be grateful for. And I know this is like a very long winding introduction, but I just really want to talk about that because I think we don't talk about everyday life enough. Like, of course, you know, like post-traumatic growth is a thing. You know, we go through hardships. We have the highest of highs on certain days or in certain periods. But most of the time, life would go pretty normal. And, you know, like I think for us and most of the population would have a pretty stable, mundane kind of life. And I don't see any reason why we cannot enjoy and romanticize that. And I think that is through gratitude. So I'm excited to talk about that today with you. Okay, so before we get into the topic, let's talk about you. We have a section called Have You Met Tiffany? And we're going to get some recommendations from you. I love this section because I get to know my guest a bit better. My first question, favorite question of all time, is what is a book you would recommend?
Sure. I think one of my favorite books, and it's an older one, it's called The Gift of Fear. And it's by Gavin De Becker. And it's all about survival instincts. And it really helps you understand how your intuition works. And it's all about using that intuition to keep you safe. And it's really empowering to know that you have that ability to keep yourself safe through this intuition, which you might not really totally understand, but it's there and it's going to help move you in the right direction.
Yeah. Wow. That's so interesting. I have never heard of that book before, but it sounds interesting. I'm going to put that on my list. Thank you for that. What about a movie you would recommend?
Sure. The movie Paper Tigers, which is a documentary, was suggested by one of my colleagues. And at the time, I was teaching in a classroom with extreme behavioral disorders and emotional disturbances. And this documentary is great because it chronicles a year in the life of these high school students in a very low socioeconomic area. And all of the students that it chronicles have experienced adverse childhood experiences. So their trauma responses are evident, and it just kind of reiterates the fact that we need to, you know, one, treat everyone with kindness because we never really know what they're going through. And then also it reiterates the importance of the trauma-informed practices within the school settings.
Wow, that is a big topic. I mean, probably not the most fun of things to watch, but very meaningful nonetheless. So thank you for sharing that. So you're on the podcast as a guest right now, but which podcast do you recommend?
Well, I had the opportunity to participate in High Heels and Heartache by Kendall Ann Combs. And she's just a phenomenal young lady because she was, she had experienced domestic violence within a past relationship, and it was difficult for her to find maybe counseling or psychological help. And what she wants to do is provide those types of help and strategies for her listeners. She makes it, you know, readily available and free for them to access. And I just, she had recently written a book that, you know, I'd love to check out, but it's really inspiring how she had turned such a traumatic experience into, you know, a great success for herself.
Yeah. So I'm guessing she has her own podcast and that's what you're recommending.
Yes.
Oh, cool. I need to look her up. Cool. All right. And next question. Who is your famous role model? Or if not a famous person, then who is your personal role model?
Oh, this is challenging. Personal role models would, of course, I think the women in my family, they're very strong women, and, you know, they've always been a pillar in supporting their family through some difficult times. For example, both my grandparents were in the military, so being a military spouse has its own challenges. And my grandfather, he had multiple sclerosis. So my grandmother had helped him quite a bit while running the family business. And then my mother, she's just been such a huge support for me. But as far as famous role models, I would have to choose Milton Hershey. Not many people have probably heard of him. However, he was a chocolatier. I think that Hershey's chocolate is the best chocolate in the world, but that's my own opinion. However, he was also a philanthropist, and he and his wife were unable to have children of their own. And I would imagine that's, I always feel for those couples. I would imagine it's very difficult for them, but they turned that what could be a tragedy into triumph. He created the Milton Hershey School for Boys, and he made quality education available for boys in a low socioeconomic setting.
Wow.
So I just love hearing those stories of, you know, working from the ground up and then making the most of a poor situation.
Yeah, me too. I love that. I didn't know about that story. I mean, I know about Hershey's chocolate, but never knew about that story. I grew up eating Hershey's a lot. I had no idea that it's like a big thing. It's just like, cause I have, you know, like my uncles and aunties would like bring them back from trips and things like that. And I'm like, okay, they're cool. You know, like never really thought much of it. But yeah, I really, really love it. And I think when you talked about your personal role model as well, that's really beautiful. You know, talking about your family and having such figures in your family, it's a really big deal. You know, like it's something that I admire from other people. And yeah, I look at my own family. I'm like, oh yeah, I look at, you know, different women in my family. I'm like, oh yeah, I pick up certain things from them, you know, definitely too. So that's really great. Final question in this part. What is a course you've completed that you really love?
Oh, looking back on the courses, I do feel that my favorite and the one that caused me to grow the most was the residency course that I had to attend. So I attended Grand Canyon University for my doctoral program, and it was an online program, which worked really well. I was able to, you know, spend time with my family and attend to my full-time job. But with that, there was a lot of isolation. I didn't get to meet any of my classmates or any of my professors. So the residency program gave me the opportunity to fly down to Phoenix, Arizona, and spend a week getting to know some of my peers. And it gave me the opportunity to hear their research and share my research with them as well. And we were able to do that for 2 summers. So I think that was a course that had caused me to grow the most.
Oh, that's fun. I love that. Well, now we've wrapped up the first part of getting to know you. Like, I know I've got some great recommendations from you and got to know you a bit better. So we're going to talk about the topic of the day. We're going to talk a lot about gratitude, and we'll talk about happiness as well, because this show is about happiness and each person has their very own definition. My first question is, and as always, Tiffany, what does happiness mean to you?
So happiness to me is definitely a mindset. You have to choose to be happy. Likewise, you choose to be unhappy. And what I mean by that is some people with a lot of abundance, so they're very wealthy, you would think that they might be happy. However, they might not be happy with what they have. Maybe they're not fulfilled with their job or their relationships. And conversely, people with very little, like financially, they could be very happy. And it's all about, gratefulness, really. it's all about being grateful for what you have. And my husband and I had a conversation about being content. And he said, well, being happy means that you are content. And I wanted to refute that right away, but then I thought about it. And I think when I hear the word content, it's such a neutral term to me. However, I don't think it has to be. I think being content could mean that you are grateful. You're thankful for the things you have. You identify that you have these fortunes, and thus that makes you happy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a beautiful thing to talk about. And that's exactly what I was talking about earlier when we started the conversation. If you remember, you know, like the lunch conversation I just had with my team today. And I think I've just been gravitating towards that quite a bit, because I feel like life is long, but also short. It's fleeting. You don't know how long you have. And it's really easy to be miserable and just be like, oh yeah, I don't have this, I don't have that. You know, how long is it going to take until I go here, go there, buy this car, get that house, or, you know, like find this person, find these people? Well, you actually have a lot already, all of us. You know, no matter the circumstance, I think we do have a lot. We just need to look and really appreciate what we have. And that it takes practice, which is exactly the topic of today. And I know that's why your definition of happiness is the way that it is, because, you know, each expert has their own like field of study, and that really influences how they see happiness, right? And this Absolutely. Is how you see it. But I think it's actually a definition that we've heard quite a bit on Sure. this show, even if, you know, they are not specifically talking a lot about gratitude. It's like a thing in our lives where it's like, it's there. And a lot of us just forget to look, especially as adults. Because here's the thing. I just talked to my team and I was like, you know what? Children are so good at this. Remember when we were children? We had the simplest days and we felt like we had the best days ever. But as adults, we have so many things and we couldn't wait to grow up when we were kids, right? So we could be adults and, you know, like go and do the adult things. And now we're adults and we're miserable. Some of us, or most of us, I might say. It's really funny, actually. It's ironic to think about it. So it just helps to rewire that part of the brain when we think about happiness.
Absolutely. That's a good point to bring up, how children are just naturally happy. Yeah. I wonder what happens to that happiness, you know, as we grow older.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I've just been thinking about that a lot. And I think about my own childhood and I just kind of want to bring that back, which is why like I'm trying to practice a lot of things in my daily life now that would kind of resemble how I lived in my childhood, you know, like not engaging with friends on social media, but actually texting them, calling them, not even texting, we didn't text when we were younger, calling them when we want to have a conversation, actually meeting them in person, just having a routine, right? Like a routine sounds like the most boring thing ever, but it's actually the best. I love it.
I love routine too.
Yeah. Because it's like, you know, you do the same thing every day, but you know what? It is actually really fun and it's really good for you. So yeah, little things like that mean a lot to me. And next question for you. We've talked about gratitude. We've talked about your definition of happiness. And you work in this field. You're helping a lot of different people. So I'm sure you have your own observations. What do a lot of people get wrong when it comes to happiness?
I think, and it sounds trivial, and I'm sure it's been said before, but I think happiness is, it's a journey. It's not just an end goal. And goals are great, you know, goals to, you know, get that degree or lose weight, become healthier. Goals are fantastic, but tying your happiness to a goal or a set of goals is really probably not the best thing. And it's a little sad because you're telling yourself you're not happy until you reach that goal, when really it should be about that journey. So if your goal is to get that college degree, you should be enjoying your classes. You should be enjoying the time with the classmates and your interactions with the professor. You should be enjoying it along the way, or else those 4 years are going to be pretty miserable. And then likewise, if your goal is to become healthier and you have, let's say, a weight loss goal or something, not only are you going to be able to not maintain that weight after you reach that goal, you're not going to enjoy the time leading up to meeting that goal. So for example, if you're not enjoying your time at the gym or enjoying the exercise that you choose, you're likely not going to keep that weight off when you actually reach that goal. And
yeah,
I think it's important to, you know, enjoy the journey to meeting that goal.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear you, because, you know, it's interesting you said that, because if you think about losing weight as a goal and you go to the gym, let's say you set a target to lose 5 kilos. You're like, okay, I've lost the 5 kilos. I'm done. You don't go to the gym anymore. Guess what?
Right.
You gain it right back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. And yeah, likewise with relationships too. I know, you know, if you want to meet that special someone, oh, I'll be happy when I get married, or I'll be happy when I have children. Well, what if that never really happens? And it doesn't happen for all people. But you can still be happy even though you don't meet those goals. Sorry.
Yeah, I think a lot of the different goals are dependent on many factors. Like, you know, like you just talked about relationship and, you know, meeting someone, meeting your person, or, you know, having children. And a lot of people do, you know, eventually get there. But then what comes after?
Right.
You know, you meet the person. Will it work out forever? Or will it work out for as long as you want it to work out? That's a whole different story. So that's why it's a journey. And I totally agree with you. And, you know, like even this is interesting to me because, look, I love my friends. But mm-hmm. I have a friend who's, for the longest time, single goal is to get married.
Yeah.
What does that mean to her? It's a wedding. Mm-hmm. She wants to get to that wedding. And the part that comes after the wedding, not so fun. Because, you know, like she's going to have to deal with her in-laws, you know, take care of her husband, take care of her in-laws. She's going to have babies, take care of her babies. Well, I would like to say if she really just wants that part, then it's a whole different story. But if and when she realizes that is a journey, just like you were saying, and enjoy even the not so enjoyable part of it, it's going to be much more beautiful and it's going to be much more, you know, much better for your happiness or for her level of happiness. Because I find that it's such an interesting thing when people are like, oh, I want to get married. I'm like, yeah, but do you know what that involves?
And that really, it places a lot of pressure on that other person. I mean, you shouldn't rely on someone else to create your happiness. You really have to create it yourself.
Yeah, totally. And you know what? You mentioned a really interesting point, a really good point earlier. A lot of people might actually not find anyone for them. And I think that's totally okay. Mm-hmm. If you don't happen to meet that person, that's fine. You don't have to force it, because I do know this is what I do know. A lot of people just settle because they don't want to be alone. And then they end up miserable. Mm-hmm. They end up not living the life they want. So I think the, you know, the self-discovery journey is actually the one that is the most important, because you're continually on that path. And for a lot of people that I know, you know, with friends or friends of friends that I've heard stories about, and they just, you know, go headfirst into a relationship because society is saying, oh, you're at this age, you should be in a relationship. Or, oh, if you're not getting married by 30 or so and so age, you're not normal. And so they, you know, they do end up getting married, or they do end up with someone at the perfect age, according to society. And they're not that happy. You know, they might end up divorced 6 months later, or, you know, they might end up being completely miserable without them knowing. You know, they change their whole belief system. They change who they are. They forget about who they want to become. You hear these stories all the time, right?
Right.
Yeah. It's pretty dangerous to me too. So yeah, I totally agree with you when it comes to things that people get wrong. But we are going to talk about gratitude. And I think that's, you know, like the path that is kind of hard for a lot of us. As I said earlier, as adults, it's so hard to just enjoy every day, like, you know, the way that children do. And that's what I adore about children. They just enjoy every day, like it's the best day ever. So let's talk about gratitude.
Sure.
It's a grateful mindset, right? And I want to throw in this question. I know we sent you a bunch of questions, but I want to throw in a little question just before we go into incorporating gratitude into our daily lives. Let's try to understand it, because for a lot of people, this is a new thing. Even though we hear it, probably you and I, we hear it all the time. The average, normal, everyday people, they might hear it every now and again, but they don't really grasp the concept. So I would really love to hear from your perspective, what does gratitude mean? What is a grateful mindset? And what don't people know about it?
Sure. Well, I think gratitude is two parts. It's identifying what you have and being thankful. And then also the expressing the gratitude part is just conveying your gratitude to someone or something. So in that it's twofold. And what people might not get correct about it, I think they might assume that you have to be grateful 100% of the time. And that's just not possible. You are going to be going through some tough times, and sometimes where it's going to be very difficult to find something that you're thankful for. However, gratitude is something that, you know, it doesn't take long to develop. It could be a very short practice, you know, every day. And with that, you can develop the gratitude that will help keep you happy.
Yeah, definitely. See, it's not something different, right? It's not anything new. I'm pretty sure we all subconsciously know about this. Mm-hmm. We need a little bit of a reminder, especially because, as I said, I don't know why. And this is probably a whole research project in itself, like why it's so hard for adults to be thankful and grateful and happy and content while children are so easy to do this. But I do want to ask you about, you know, incorporating this into our daily lives. So we know that there are two parts to it, you know, recognizing it, then actually expressing it. Good that we know about that. But how do we incorporate that into our daily lives? Because it could actually be quite cheesy when you think about it, right? You know, like, oh, it's a sunny day, I'm so thankful. It's sweet. But who do you say it to? How do you do it? And, you know, like, if someone has never done this before, how can they start?
Sure. There's lots of different strategies that you could use. I listened to one of your podcasts that had, I believe her name was Nancy Davis Coe, and her book on letters of gratefulness. That was a fabulous podcast. But I agree, you can write letters of gratitude and give them to people, or not give them to people. Also, gratitude visits would be really helpful. If you're not much of a writer, you can visit that person face to face and express your gratitude towards them. Creating a gratitude journal will also be beneficial. You know, if you take 5 or 10 minutes a day, or even a week, just writing down all the things that you're grateful for and just identifying those things that you're fortunate to have, or the events that you are fortunate to have experienced, that would be really helpful. Also, meditation, that would be excellent to foster gratitude.
Yeah, some great practices. I think it's probably related to the practical side of things for sure. But when it comes to our happiness and well-being, right, we are talking about this a lot on the show. We have mentioned this, I think, as I said, on this show, we've mentioned expressing gratitude or, you know, gratitude practices so many times. Mm-hmm. But I think once and for all, let's talk about how this affects our overall level of happiness. Because yes, we know that it's very beneficial, but how does it help us with our level of happiness? And this is probably related to your definition earlier. I know you've mentioned that before. What else can we add to this picture so that our audience can understand it a bit better?
Sure. As you mentioned, research has shown that gratefulness positively affects social, emotional, and your physical well-being. So it also has a domino effect. So if you are identifying something that you're grateful for and you express that to someone, that person is more likely to give you more gifts or time in the future, and then also give more gifts or time to other people. So sort of a domino effect. And it also helps to minimize anxiety and depression. So lots of research with that.
Yeah, definitely. The piece about anxiety and depression, how does that help? Because one thing that I do know is when someone has anxiety and depression, either or both, actually, it's actually really hard. And, you know, I've gone through this journey myself. Mental health is something that is never easy to talk about. But I do know that it's actually really hard to focus on the good things, right? Because when your brain's in fight or flight, or, you know, when you're just the chemicals imbalance is happening, it's so hard for you to think about anything happy. So how does that help? Because it needs to start somewhere, right? And then how does gratitude help them to slowly perhaps get out of that state or at least fight them better?
Absolutely. That's an excellent question. I think just starting small, and one of a beneficial technique for anxiety, if someone is experiencing an anxiety attack, one of the things that experts tell you to do is find three things in the room that you see, identify three things that you're feeling, find three things that you're hearing or smelling. So just kind of grounding yourself and taking pause, it's actually a type of mindfulness. It causes you to pause and become more aware of your surroundings, and then it'll slow your heart rate down and your breathing. You could also do the same thing with gratefulness. So if you're in a situation where you're really in a funk, or you cannot, you just can't pull yourself out of it, you feel miserable, try thinking of one thing that you're grateful for. And it could be something as small as, well, you know, I'm really glad I made it to work today without a flat tire. And that sounds really silly, but when you recognize something small and consistently do that, it'll be easier. So the next time you try that practice, maybe identify two things. So, you know, I'm very thankful that I was able to get to work and I didn't encounter any accidents. I got here safely. And then I'm also very thankful that I'm not experiencing a cold right now. So just starting small, identifying anything that you could be thankful for would be really beneficial.
Yeah, definitely. I really love that. It's just, you know, starting small, it's very helpful. And one of the things that I've noticed on my own mental health journey, and again, I'm no practitioner, I'm not an expert or a professional, but I do know from my own experience that it does get better. As long as you keep practicing it, it does get better. Even if this is how I felt. I'm going to describe it. I'm not sure if the audience can relate to this, but I'm going to describe it because I know it's really hard for some people when they're in really dark places with a lot of anxiety, with a lot of depression, to even think about going on with their days. You know, because I remember there was a time I didn't want to get out of bed at all. This is a long time ago. And finally I did. Finally I enjoyed life again. But when that happened, it's just kind of like, oh, you got to be thankful for even the smallest thing. Oh, God, it's so hard. But every day, every time I say it or I write it down, it becomes part of my reality more and more. And then I slowly feel less and less alone, less and less in that dark space, whatever that is. So maybe other people would relate to this because it's not like, oh, it's a light switch, you turn it on. It's not like that. It's actually a slow burn process. And sometimes, some days, it gets back right where it started. It's really dark again. And then you kind of like have to keep going. I think this is actually similar to going to the gym. You know, like you kind of like you work out, you lift weight, and then some days you just don't, you just cannot be balanced because I do Pilates every day. And some days I'm like, oh, my balance today is great. And then this morning I went to class and the whole class's balance was out of whack. It was like a funniest thing. Like the whole class had the same thing happening this morning. Maybe it's Monday morning. Who knows? But yeah, like, you know, there's just one of those days that our balance is just not as good. But then you keep practicing. And then slowly but surely you get to a stage where it's just there. You know, like you just have your balance all the time because, it's, you know, you've built your core strength. And I know it's a funny analogy, but similar to, you know, gratitude and you know, your mental health journey, it probably feels like it's never going to get better sometimes. But it does eventually get better if we keep going and we do one small thing every day. So I totally agree with you there.
Absolutely. I think an important word that you said was process, and it doesn't happen overnight. And it's also important to relate it to a growth mindset. It's something that can be developed and strengthened over time.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I feel like I didn't know about any of this. And I don't know if this we're kind of like stepping into the other topic that you mentioned earlier, but I do have to say the post-traumatic growth. It's a really interesting one because I do know for at least for myself that every time I go through something traumatic, I grow a lot as a person because I learn new things. I picked up new skills and this is one of them, you know, because you mentioned the process, right? And it's kind of like in sort of like in that trajectory a little bit more because I do notice that when things are going well, you don't really necessarily pick up these things. It's just kind of like, oh yeah, it's all great. You know, like, nothing much for me to pay attention to. But when things are not going well, especially when you go through trauma, you pick up new things. And then you know, you're so grateful for the journey because you know that it gets better. And then you're also grateful for the good days as much as the bad days. And I know it sounds super cheesy, but yeah, I think I just quickly mentioned that because it's kind of interrelated, all of these concepts. Yeah, cool. So we talk about, you know, the gratitude practices, the fact that we are going to use it in our everyday lives. And I know that you're an educator. So how do you, you know, incorporate this into the learning environment so that it's a positive environment for the learners?
So I think it's really important to model gratefulness. And with that, you know, whenever someone enters my room, whether it be the principal or the custodian, I always be sure to thank them in front of the students and show my appreciation. Likewise, I also show my appreciation to the students. So whether they're walking into my physical classroom, I would say, hey, it's so great to see you. I'm so thankful you're here today. You know, it's great that you're here and you're going to work hard. Likewise, in the online setting with the university students, I always like to do a welcome message and, you know, thank them for their time and thank them for, you know, their hard work throughout the semester and just show my appreciation that way. Also, I think it's important to practice gratefulness throughout the school year and not just at certain times of the year. For example, so in the United States, we celebrate Thanksgiving at the end of November, and that's a really popular time for educators to introduce gratefulness and thankfulness. And a lot of people might post things on Facebook, like, you know, 30 days of thankfulness, you know, writing something that they're thankful for each day in a post. However, I think it's important, you know, within the classroom, especially to teach the importance daily, if possible, if not weekly, but just throughout the school year and not just at set times throughout the year, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I really love that because it's a healthy environment to thrive in, especially if you're in a learning environment. I don't know about the current education system, but I remember when I did go to school or even, you know, for my master's degree, it was kind of like, it felt like a chore. And so I'm really happy to hear you say that as an educator, because I think this should go out to all the educators out there. I remember when I was going to, whether it be school, just, you know, in my undergrad, in my high school years even, and then my postgrad, it's always like, oh yeah, you paid for education. Okay, get it. Here's what you're going to learn today. Here's what you have to do. Here's what you got to achieve. And it's always like very transactional. But I think it shouldn't be like that because we should be grateful to learn. And like you were saying, you're expressing gratitude to the students that show up, right? It's actually very important, you know? And I think that that is something that we don't get in the traditional educational setting. I do get that when I go to the gym though. This is funny. I talk about the gym so much because I love it. I love that my instructors always say, hello everyone, welcome to class. Thank you for being here. Thank you for letting me practice with you. And I just find that to be the most beautiful thing ever. We didn't thank them for teaching us. We didn't start by saying thank you for coming to class to teach us, but they say thank you for coming to class. So I get to teach you and I get to practice with you, especially the yoga instructors. They're really great at doing this. And I feel like it's an embedded thing, right? Especially in yoga, they have gratitude and mindfulness in there. And I really love the positive learning environment. So I do hope that now and into the future, any learning environment would have this. You know, we should truly cultivate gratitude, whether it be the educator or the learners, the students. It's so important.
Absolutely. I agree. And it's specifically important for relationships too. So when you express your gratitude, then that strengthens your relationship as a whole. And I can't remember the name of the lady on the TED Talk. However, she has this amazing quote, kids don't learn from people they don't like. So yeah. It's important to cultivate those relationships, and demonstrating gratefulness will allow you to do that, especially in the classroom.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a great one. And so we talk about, you know, the learning environment, but at the same time, we also want to pay attention to, this is like a, you know, a side note into the classroom, but we have life, right? Like in general, we have life full of busy adults now. And you know, I think in the recording agenda, we mentioned busy adults, but I'm going to throw in there and I'm going to say busy children too, busy kids. The kids nowadays, look, I don't know about the latest generation, but I do know even my younger friends, like I have friends that are like really young and still in their teenage years, and they are busy. They are like, you know, like running constantly from one place to another, and they're doing this and doing that. And I was like, I didn't do this much when I was younger, but everyone's so busy. And it's so hard to find time or carve out time or make time for this mindset, to cultivate this mindset. It is a mindset, you know, I don't think it's like something you do just once a day, once a week. It's actually a mindset of like looking at the good things in your life. And this is something I'm still practicing myself. I'm not great at it. So what advice do you have for this busy generation? I'll call it a busy generation that we have right now. Everyone is so busy. No one has time to cultivate this grateful mindset. Where should we start?
Sure. I think my favorite practice, and one that I try to do as often as I can, is just try to think of three things I'm grateful for. And oftentimes I'll do it while I'm laying in bed. So research has shown that if you want to, you know, introduce a new practice into your life, it's important to pair it with something that you already have as your routine, such as maybe brushing your teeth before bed or making breakfast or, you know, in my case, lying down to bed at night. However, you know, it's a good time to think of three things that you're grateful for, because it really sets the stage for peaceful sleep and hopefully positive dreams. So I would encourage people to just start with thinking of three things that they're thankful for. And children can also do this as well. And it might be an interesting dinner conversation to do. Hopefully families are still sitting down for dinner at least a few times a week, but it would be an interesting conversation to have for families. And then just encouraging their child to think of three things that they were grateful for that day. And those three things might be, you know, someone came to play with me at recess, or I was able to get on the bus without tripping up the stairs, or something like that. Who knows what a child will say. And hopefully they're not, we might have to steer them a bit. Hopefully they're not saying, oh, I'm grateful for my tablet. I'm grateful to watch this TV show today. Hopefully we can steer them away from the electronics and think of some more organic experiences, or, you know, things that they have been given.
Yeah. You know, actually, you raised a very good point there that I would like to discuss a little bit further, because one, this is a really good practice for the whole family. And we haven't even got to the practice section. We'll try to add another practice there so that it's different. But I think it's so interesting when you said we need to steer the conversation a bit, because you know what? Even adults, we might do this. We might say, oh, I'm so glad I got a new car today. Mm-hmm. I'm so grateful for my new car, or I'm so grateful for my new apartment. I'm so grateful for this new contract. But it's all like, you know, it's all about physical things. And I think and I believe in the power of little things, which is what I was talking to you about earlier today, right? The even the mundane could be so beautiful. And we don't notice that. Like I was talking to my colleague. It's so funny. She's like, I hate sunny days. And I was like, why? I love sunny days. Sunny days are amazing. Why do you hate it? She's like, I don't know. People are just so happy on sunny days. I don't like it.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? Isn't that interesting? So
that is interesting.
Yeah. So then I was like, well, I'm just grateful for today. Today's weather is amazing in Melbourne. Very rare sunny days in the winter here. So I'm grateful and I was very happy. But, you know, what about a gloomy day? I think we can still say, I'm grateful for today's weather. It's very vibey and it's not raining. Or even if it's raining, it's like, oh, it's raining and I got wet. I feel alive. I'm grateful for that. I don't know. It could be anything. It can be a bit over the top sometimes, because, you know, like if you don't feel the joy in it and you kind of like try to force yourself to say it, it can be fake. But, you know, if you can sort of just take little things here and there from the mundane, the everyday things, instead of the exciting material things, I think that would help so much more, because if you're grateful for the material things, your brain's going to just keep looking for more of that.
Absolutely.
And we don't always have that, right? How often do you get new material things in your day? And if you're grateful for iPad time, then are you going to just do iPad time every day and feel happy because of that? Especially for kids.
Yeah, I think sometimes we really may have to challenge them to not look at the material things and look more, you know, through relationships and other experiences that they've had throughout their day. And I think you made a really important point that something like things that you are grateful for is very personal to you. So what you're grateful for might be very different from someone else. With your example of you are grateful for a sunny day, however, your colleague is grateful for, you know, more gloomy, you know, cloudy day.
Yeah,
so it's exactly. It's something that's personal to you, and it could vary significantly between people.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's why it's so important to kind of to start practicing together and notice the tendencies. Because in theory, gratitude is great. In practice, it might not be so great if we look at the wrong thing. And that's what I think. Because if I'm just, you know, constantly looking for the highs and be like, oh yeah, like I'm so grateful this happened today. Tomorrow I'll be like, oh, nothing happened today. There's nothing to be grateful for. I don't think so. I like to challenge myself there, because there's definitely something. It's always there. And you only know that it was valuable until once it's gone. And that's so sad, because, you know, why don't you enjoy it while it's here? Yeah. So you mentioned something interesting. You said relationships. Let's talk about that, because one of the questions we have for you is actually around promoting positive relationships through gratitude. I think you mentioned this briefly earlier when you talked about, you know, the educational setting. But what else can we uncover from this? Because obviously, we all have different kinds of relationships in our lives. All of us, none of us lives solely by ourselves. We have to interact with people for life to happen. So how do we cultivate and foster positive relationships thanks to or through gratitude?
I think identifying the positive things that the people in our lives give to us is important. So for example, if we have a roommate, being thankful that the roommate did not keep us up with their loud TV at all hours of the night, or being thankful that the roommate took out the trash, or things like that. I think that's important to identify within your relationship. And equally, it's important to express that appreciation towards them. And, you know, you could do that through a little post-it note, thanks for taking out the garbage, or verbally, or however you feel it's appropriate to thank that person, it's important that they know that you appreciate that act.
Yeah, it could be something so little, right? I really love that. I feel like sometimes it even helps to reflect on the interaction you've had with someone. You know, I think nowadays it's rare when you get a message or a call saying, thank you for hanging out with me. That was really fun. You know, like I actually love that. My friend and I did that yesterday and I felt so special. I feel like amazing. It was just like just another hangout. And obviously now everyone's busy, right? So I used to do that a lot. But then when I realized that people don't do that anymore, I also kind of stop because I feel like I'm the only one doing it. And it's kind of odd. But yeah, when my friend texted me, she was like, yesterday was fun. Thanks for hanging out. I was like, yes, it was. Thank you for hanging out. Thank you for your time. And that was really sweet. And it fosters a relationship.
Absolutely. And now I'm willing to bet that you're going to do that same practice if another friend hangs out with you, and you are probably going to thank that friend for their time. So it's that snowball effect for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so important, you know, like, and even just a follow-up text, because I'm a very sentimental person. I know a lot of people don't care much for that aspect and they're just kind of like, yeah, whatever. But I think it's a nice thing to do. And, you know, it fosters a relationship. And in fact, for you, it helps you to cherish the experience even more, no matter how mundane it was.
Absolutely. I agree. Sometimes I'm very big with thank you notes, whether it be an act that I'm thanking that person for or, you know, a physical gift. And sometimes I wonder if writing that thank you note benefits me more so than the person I'm giving the note to. So there are benefits both ways. And either way, the relationship is strengthened.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And final question for you in this part. I know that you do a lot of different activities. I know about this because I was reading through your bios. Now, I'm not sure if this is still true, but I know you do have a lot of different kinds of physical activities, including running, snowboarding. Yes. Yes. Spending time at the beach. So How do these activities tie to your gratitude and your level of happiness?
Absolutely. They are all my favorite things. So you certainly did your research. But each of those things involves a physical aspect. And we know research has told us that, you know, when we're physically active, we have the endorphins and all these good hormones that run through our system, the serotonin that makes us happier, right? And when I'm able to practice each one of those things, moving my body in the running or the snowboarding or the surfing, each of those activities involves time outside, which has its own benefits too. Being outside with the vitamin D of the sun and oxygen, those have its own health benefits. And then just being at the beach is almost meditative for me. I'm a big water person. So just being near the water, in the water, it gives me a very calming effect. And that might not be true for everyone. So it's important to know that, you know, those things are specific for me, and everyone will have their own activities that will help them foster gratitude and happiness.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. I love hearing that. Thank you. I don't think we get out in nature enough. So all of the activities that you're saying is kind of like, you know, you got to get out into nature. And I'm sure in your gratitude list, they will make the list for sure. All right. So now let's go into the practice part. We've talked a lot about theories, but interestingly enough, in the theory part, you talked about so many different kinds of practice for gratitude. So I hope we still have some more for our audience. And if we can, what is another practice that you have not mentioned, but you do, you know, very frequently so that you can actually unlock your happiness through gratitude?
Sure. I know we did talk about the gratitude journal, the gratitude letters, gratitude visits, meditation, mindfulness. I'm a big fan of thank you notes. I think it's important to thank someone for their time or any gift that they've given you. I know some people write posts on Facebook expressing gratitude for something that, you know, they're acknowledging within their life.
Yeah.
This is done through like around Thanksgiving time.
maybe there could be a practice around using social media for good, you know, like expressing gratitude using social media. Do you do that? Have you tried that at all?
I have not really. a little embarrassing to say, I'm not a big user of social media. I do have Facebook, but I don't do much with it. I try to update with pictures every so often, but I'm not a big user of it. So that's a difficult question to answer.
No, I think it's good because you've already mentioned all the practices that you actually do before. And, you know, the purpose of this part is to find out what are the practices that you actually do. But if you've already run us through all of them, then I guess, you know, for anyone who's interested and want to try, maybe they can use social media to express gratitude.
Yeah, that's an excellent idea. And then Pinterest might be a good option to find more strategies. To express gratitude.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's interesting. I don't think of Pinterest that way. Like, I just go when I need ideas for some things, but not about, like, you know, strategies to be more grateful or find ways to express gratitude. So that's fun. Thank you. But I do know that a lot of stationery stores would have gratitude journals with prompts. So if people are stuck, they can actually get, you know, start there. Because, you know, if you are a person that journals all the time, it's probably easy for you to just write it down. But for people that are not used to journaling and not really know where to start when it comes to gratitude, I'm pretty sure there are so many prompts out there. Even if you don't want to buy a journal, there would be prompts on the internet that you can try. So that would help. And it's just a matter of starting and trying it, right? Start small. You'll find how it feels.
Absolutely. I was going to suggest, if you're not very comfortable with journaling, just do bullet points. 3 things that you're grateful for that day or that week. Just simple bullets, I think, will get the job done.
Yeah. And if you love your phone, use the note app on your phone. Just
another excellent idea.
Yeah, put it there. No need to buy a journal. No need to write it down with your handwriting. It's all good, right? So many ways we can try this.
Yeah, and that's a good practice. You can easily look back at that. So if you are having a particularly difficult day, you can look back at last week's, you know, notes on gratitude and say, okay, you know, this day was a pretty good day. I was grateful for these things. And I think that'll really help your current mindset.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. So easy to do. And, you know, it's easy for you to keep track of as well. So we've covered the practice section. And before we let you go, we have a section called Open Mic. I know you have a topic in mind already. I'm keen to hear more about this. So take it away, Tiffany.
Sure. I think it's important to identify toxic positivity when discussing gratitude. So just understanding that it's not all rainbows and butterflies all the time. We are going to have difficult parts of our life. We are going to experience anxiety and depression. However, toxic positivity is an inappropriate positive response to something. So when I mean, an example of that would be, you know, if you go to a friend and say, oh, I had a really tough day today. My dog isn't doing very well. I think I might lose my job and I'm running low on funds. It wouldn't be very beneficial and it would be downright harmful for that friend to say, don't worry, just be happy or look on the bright side. That's not very helpful at all. And it could be damaging actually because they're not really validating your emotions. And it's important to validate your emotions and just be aware that it's okay to feel that way. You don't want to feel that way all the time. You have to pull yourself out of it. However, you are going to feel that way sometimes. A better response to that friend that has shared those events with you would be, you know, I'm really sorry you're going through this. How can I help? So identifying that it's okay that you're feeling this way and just offering to help that person is going to be way more helpful and impactful than just saying good vibes only or think happy thoughts, you know, because that could really be damaging to someone.
And, yeah, absolutely.
Just not acknowledging their emotion.
Yeah, that is such an important point. And thank you for that. I think it's really easy to dismiss or invalidate someone's emotions unknowingly because of that person's mindset, because of our mindset. We are in a conversation, right? We could be very positive or very negative or somewhere in between. But depending on the day, we couldn't be, you know, not hearing the right thing. It's like, oh, don't worry about it. You know, that's the worst thing I have ever heard. And I'm also consciously trying to not say that. Like, oh, don't worry about it. That's no big deal. If that person is thinking that it is a big deal to them, and that should be validated. So yeah, I really love that you're pointing that out. I think toxic positivity is a thing that's kind of looming in our culture as well, because it's kind of like, oh yeah, we went through such a hard time, but it's all great now. What about the hard times? Are we just going to dismiss it and not dissect what happened and just not going to, you know, learn from that experience? Because I think that's important.
Exactly. Yeah. Because there is going to be a response to that trauma or whatever you had experienced. There's going to be effects, whether you address them or not.
Yeah. And I think it's even more dangerous if you bottle it up, because it's going to blow up later for sure. If you don't pay attention to whatever it is, whether it be something that's with your friend or within yourself. And it can have dramatic effects later on if you don't address little things. So yeah, I think gratitude is a great practice, is a great thing to have. A grateful mindset is going to help us to go far. But at the same time, if we forget about all the other things, you know, if we don't pay attention to things that need to be addressed, like you said, and just have toxic positivity and just be grateful for everything and flipping all the experiences into positive, then it's going to be really hard for us to grow and to truly have sustainable growth and a happy, fulfilling lives later on. Yeah.
Absolutely. So well said.
Well, thank you. I'm learning so much from you, and it's a really good way to digest all this information. It's kind of like we're bouncing off ideas, and it's not a new topic, but there's so much more to learn. I especially love the piece where you talk about the educational setting. And I, again, truly hope that all educators keep this in mind, because it's so important, but so often forgotten. And it doesn't keep people interested in learning when they don't have that positive relationship, right? So I really love that you said your kids only learn from people they like, and they're not going to learn from people they don't really like. And same for adults, actually. You know, like I had to quit a yoga class a couple of weeks ago because the instructor actually left a really horrible experience on me. So it was sad. I have nothing against her. It's just like the way that she interacted with me, particularly in that class, was not acceptable to me. And it caused a lot of trauma, I would say. So yeah, like I think it's so important, no matter what you teach, right, in any kind of settings. And you're an educator yourself, so you understand this. So I really love that message from you. Before I let you go, where could our listeners, our audience, find out more about you if they wish to get to know more about your work or maybe reach out for collaboration?
Sure. I think I can best be reached on LinkedIn, Tiffany Malachi, PhD. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And thanks for being here. I know it's super late and you've kept up your energy, even though it's like almost 10 p.m., I think. So that's amazing. Thank you so much for your time. And hopefully we'll have you back another time to talk about post-traumatic growth.
Oh, I would love that. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to Sarah Boost, the Happiness Science Insights podcast, produced by the Happiness Science Labs, a division of LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. More episodes are available from 10 life management perspectives and can be found by searching LMSL on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, YouTube, and other podcasting apps available on your devices. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, share, and subscribe to our channel so that other people can find it and we can continue to provide quality content. More of our work can be found on our website at ha.lmsl.net, where you can join our movement. I'm Lu Ngo. Thanks for tuning in.